That was a beautiful praise team. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you that in the cross we find victory in Jesus. All right, our children's church is dismissed at this time. And as they get up to head their way, I want to invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. For those of you that are visiting with us and are not aware of what we have been preaching, we have been looking in Colossians chapter 1 at what we have entitled the story of creation. Or it is the story of creation in a nutshell, particularly verses 15 through 17. We get what God wants us to know and understand about creation. There is one primary truth that comes out that we've learned in the story of creation. And that primary truth is that the story of creation, now listen, is the story of Jesus Christ. The story of creation is the story of Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Just to remind you, as we looked at verses 15 through 17, we discovered that the story of creation was a story about sovereignty. The sovereignty of Jesus Christ, as verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God. And that is a reference to the fact that Jesus Christ, when He walked upon the earth, was the exact representation of the invisible God. And what that means is that He was the exact representation of the invisible God because He was God. Now understand something. The reason why there is a creation is because Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation. And the reason why He's the Lord of creation is because He's the sovereign God of the universe. Hallelujah. The story of creation is the story of Christ. It is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sovereign, who's superior and supreme to the point that He was able to create the total sum of all that exists. And get this. And because He was before creation, and because He was there at creation, because He performed creation, that means He'll always be there. Therefore, that means He will sustain creation. That's what we looked at last week. That the story of creation is a story of sustainability. And the Bible says there in those verses, verses 15 through 17, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by Him and for Him. Let's not forget that. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. In other words, brothers and sisters, just remind yourself again that the story of creation is the story of Christ. It's all about Him. He was there before it was made. He's the one who made it. He made it for Him. And He's the one who keeps it going. Hallelujah. Now, it's important that we get this ingrained into our minds, and I'll tell you why. I'll remind you why. Don't let the world steal the story of creation away from Christ. Because Satan will do everything that he possibly can to take everything he can away from Christ.
because he wants all the glory. And so he has allowed for certain theories to be created and certain theories to be invented and certain theories to be brought up about how the world came about. And those theories go out of their way to deny the person of Jesus Christ in creation. Let's get Christ back where he belongs. He's the Lord of creation. That's what we must remember. And let's don't let the world steal the story of creation away from us. You don't have to worry. Let me remind you of this. You don't have to worry and think, well, they'll say I'm just a dumb country bumpkin if I believe in that simple biblical teaching about creation, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and everything on it, and he did it in 6 24-hour days. You're just a silly, stupid country bumpkin if you believe that truth. Well, I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. You better believe that truth, because that's what the Word of God teaches. And by the way, you don't have to be a silly, stupid, dumb country bumpkin or swamp fox or whatever you want to call it. You don't have to be dumb to believe that truth, because here's what I can tell you, is that the story of creation will back up the fact that it was created by Christ, and everything that the Bible teaches about it, you can find in the evidence of creation itself. Now, I'm not going to dwell a whole lot on this because I've been preaching on it for a number of weeks. But let me just remind you that no scientist living today, no scientist teaching your children in the schools and in the colleges, no scientist since the time of Darwin who promoted Darwinism, who promoted evolution, no scientist living has ever observed evolution taking place. And yet they purport it as the way in which we came into existence. And yet with their eyes, they have never actually seen evolution take place. Now, they've seen a form of evolution that takes place within each specific kind. Are there some of you shorter than other people in this room? Are there some of you taller than other people in this room? Well, there must not be. We must all be the same height. Are we? No, we're not. Why? Because God put within each species the ability for differences to take place within the species. But we never go from one species to another kind. It's not shown. Not only is it not taught in the Scriptures, because Genesis chapter 1 goes out of its way to say each kind was created after its own kind. But if you go and you study in the world of paleontology and you look and you study the bones that have been dug up, how many bones and creatures have they found between the monkey or the ape and the human being? How many bone structures have they found between the cat and the dog, or the dog and the cat? How many have they found in what we call the in-between stage, where it goes from this creature to that creature? Absolutely none. Now, they'll tell you they found these people that are in that in-between state, but every one of those have been found to be a fraud in some way or another. They start with a tooth and build a whole thing around a tooth. And one of the men that was found between the supposed ape and the man, they didn't even find anything. They just said to the world, oh, here's what this guy was like, with no evidence. You and I don't need to be ashamed of the teachings of the Word of God. We don't need to back down about creation and what the Bible teaches. You and I need to hold our head high. God's given us His Word and God's given us His creation, and they both correlate together. And I'm glad of that. You know why? Because if they are opposite ends of the spectrum, then that means that creation is outside of the control of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if it's outside of the control of my Savior, Jesus Christ, then I don't know that there's any hope for me. If He can't control creation, how do I know He can do all the other things that He says He's going to do for me in the future? You and I need to praise God that the story of creation is the story of Christ. You and I need to praise God that we live and we move and we have our breath because Jesus gave it to us. And you need to know that because we know He's sovereign, He created it, and He created it for Himself. And because He was there before all things, He'll be there afterwards. Therefore, He can hold it all together and sustain it. You and I can go away rejoicing and knowing, bless God, because I know of who He is. He'll be able to handle and take care of me, not only now, but for all eternity. And God's people said, amen. The story of creation is the story of Christ. Now we're going to take a leap today, and we're only going to look at one point. But you see, in these set of verses that we've been reading for a number of weeks now, he jumps from the story of creation to the story of the church. From the story of creation to the story of the church. Let me read again, beginning with verse 15. Listen to these words. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. Now listen, and verse 17, he kind of wraps up the creation part. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now we're going to jump to the next part. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth and things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. So we jump from the story of creation to the story of the church. And someone must ask himself this question, why does he put the two stories side by side? Why they are part of the same group of verses? And everybody listen to me, here's why. Because the story of creation, as we found out, is the story of Christ. Now hear this out. And the story of the church is also what? The story of Christ. That's why they are side by side. The story of the church and the story of creation all go back to the same story. It's the story of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, what you and I are going to find out is that the story of all is the story of Jesus Christ. So, as we look at the story of the church, the only thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is a question that we must ask ourselves. First of all, we must consider the story of the church
as we consider the story of the church, we must ask ourselves just who the church is. That's the question I want us to think about for a few moments this morning. Who is the church? Look again at verse 18. Now here's what I want you to hear as we think about the church. Look at verse 18 again, and here's what he says. He says, and he is the head of the body. And say those next two words with me. The church. Now notice what it didn't say. It didn't say he is the head of the body, a church. Notice that he didn't say he is the head of the body, Great Swamp Baptist Church, or Ridgeland Baptist Church, or Red Dam, or U-Haul, or whatever. No, he says, the church. So the question we must ask ourselves is this: who is the church? He's not talking about a local church. Although, when you read and study the Bible, let me help you to understand this. There are two ideals in the Bible of the church. And about 90% of the time in the Bible, where you find the word ecclesia, that is the word for church, it means assembly. Where you find it in the Bible, 95% of the time, it has to do with a local group of believers in a certain area that assemble together. And so Great Swamp Baptist Church is a local ecclesia, a local group of believers that assemble together on Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, and at other occasions. We come together as a local group of believers. But on this occasion, this is not what we're talking about. When we talk about the church, what are we referring to? Let me share with you what one author said. He said it this way. The reference here is to the invisible or universal church into which all believers are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles and I want you to find 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. And I want you to find that. That is a great chapter about the spiritual gifts. Chapter 12 through 14 is about the spiritual gifts. 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians 12. Listen to what it says. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of his parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For, now listen to verse 13, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, thinking of this Bible verse, go to Galatians. I want you to find the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and I've got to find the verse myself. In Galatians 3, and I forgot, 28. Galatians 3 and 28. And let me start with verse 26, though. 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let me just share with you today the point that I'm making is this. What is the church? Who is the church? The church is not a local group of believers, but it is the universal church that is made up of all believers born again by the Spirit of God, baptized into one body, into the church, and everybody, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of where they're from, regardless of what their background's about, understand something. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are all a part of this universal church. Amen and hallelujah. Whether we're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal, or whether we're non-denominational, it makes no difference. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God, if you have fallen on your knees and repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you were placed into the church at that moment. The day that you believed in Jesus Christ, you became a brother or a sister with many other brothers and sisters around the entire world. And get this, not only for those who are alive at this time, but for every believer who's ever been saved in the past, and for every believer who will be saved in the future, you also are part of that church with them. We are one body, one group of believers worldwide, regardless. Listen to me. Some of you in this room, including myself, would find it difficult to go to church with some folks if they came from a different country, if they had a different color of skin, if they weren't kin to me or weren't from the swamps, if they looked different than me, if their culture was different than my culture. I just couldn't go to church with them. I just couldn't get along with them. Well, let me tell you something. You better start getting used to it now, because you're going to spend eternity with them. How many people say amen to that? What would happen to this church if we started getting an influx of many different nationalities of people in this church? How many of you would go away and go somewhere else where there would be less of those people coming in and more people just like you? You say, preacher, do you want to stay at this church any longer? You better calm down. I didn't say I was going to go out and bring all those folks in. But I'm here to tell you. The Bible says there's one true church. And that one true church is made up of all believers, regardless of the color of their skin, where they're from, what their past was about. We all are one in Jesus Christ. That is the church. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you a part of that church? You say, does someone have to get baptized to be a part of that church? No. Now the Bible teaches that you are to be baptized. And we believe in it and we practice it because that's what the Bible teaches. But if a person gets saved today by believing in Jesus Christ and doesn't get a chance to get baptized before they pass away, were they not a part of the church? No, you see, it is by believing in Jesus Christ that you are brought into that body of believers. Everybody in this room, and there are some of you in this room who are not members of Great Swamp Baptist Church, but you are a believer. And you know what? You may not be an official member of Great Swamp Baptist Church, but I can tell you this, you're still my brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm still your brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ,
we are all part of the one true church. Now, I do need to point out something before I close this message out. And this is important to hear. Are there a lot of, and let me just ask you this question. Are there a lot of groups out there that claim to be the church but aren't the church? Go like this. Yes. There are a lot of people who use the term church. They are the church. And you and I, we tend to want to say, now we want to get along with everybody. And we let our emotions guide us instead of the teaching of the truth of the Word of God. Folks, we got to lay aside our emotions and listen to the teaching and the truth of the Word of God. Not every group that calls itself the church is the church. Now, hear it from a Baptist preacher. I've been one for 40 years. Been a Baptist all my life. If you cut me, I bleed Baptist. I don't know what that means, but that's what I would bleed. But hear me well. I want you to understand today that I do not declare, though, that the Baptist is the only true church. Now, I know that sounds like heresy to some of you. But we are not the only true church. But here's the shame of it. Many of those groups out there that claim to be a part of the church don't only claim to be part of the church, they claim that they're the only church. And yet they are preaching the least of the truth of all of them. So what's the answer? You remember what I said? Everybody look at me. The story of creation is the story of what? Of Christ. And what did I say? The story of the church is the story of what? It's the story of Jesus Christ. Any group that diminishes the person of Jesus Christ is not a part of the true church. You hear me? I don't care how much the name of Jesus they use. I don't care how many things they put up with his pictures or what have you. Here's what I'm telling you. If they don't teach that there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ, and if they don't teach that He's God and He's always been God and He's a part of the Blessed Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are one, if they don't teach that He was born of the Virgin Mary, if they don't teach that He lived a sinless life and died on the cross for our sins and arose from the dead 3 days later, and that by faith and faith alone in Him is the only way of salvation, then they're not a part of the true church. There's only one true church. And it's not Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic. It's not any of those. It is the church of Jesus Christ. And that's the true church. So let me ask you again. Is your name just simply written on the roll of a church somewhere? Because you went through all the motions that were expected for you to go through to become a member of that church? Or have you truly repented of your sins, placed your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and called upon Him for salvation? And then and only then, I promise you, will you only be a member of the true church. I don't care how many times your name's written on a church roll somewhere. If you want to be a part of the church that belongs to the Christ and that will spend eternity in glory forever with Him, and you must come to Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Our Father, today we have been reminded that the story of creation is the story of Christ. And now we're reminded that together with the story of creation is a story of the church. And it's your church. And the church is your people of all times who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, red, yellow, black, or white, male or female, disabled or abled, and the list could go on and on. That's your church, the church. And the only way you teach us that we can be a part of that church is to come to you. And Father, today I pray for whoever's in this congregation, member or visitor, that is not sure if they are part of the church, not Great Swamp Baptist Church, but the church. I pray today the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts and reveal to them the need to surrender their lives to you, Lord Jesus, that they might be a part of the church that you will hold on to forever. Move in this invitation, and we'll give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. I'm going to stand right here. If you need to talk about this, I'm right here to talk about it. Visitor, member, friend, come down. If you want to come and just kneel and praise God that He has brought you into His body, the church, and has made you one with all other believers of all time, come and do that. I encourage you to do that. Or whatever it is that God's leading you to do today, we're here to help you. As we stand and as we sing, you come.
Hymn number 407, Because He Lives.
How many of you consider that you have a small family? Any of you consider having a small family? Some of you have just one or two or a few. How many of you got big families? You grew up in a big family. Okay? I don't mean big around. I mean, you know, large. I mean, anyway, you know what I mean. Well, let me just share something with you. If you're a child of God,
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
You aren't alone, brothers and sisters. You have a family that is worldwide. It is huge, and it loves you. And so today, rejoice. You're not alone. You got Jesus, and you got all those brothers and sisters out there. I'm thankful. I love my home in the mountains where I grew up. And I never really imagined ever going far away from those mountains. But you know what? I'm thankful God took me away and took me to the Midwest. I'm thankful that God has brought me down to the low country of South Carolina. I'm thankful He's moved me around. You know what? I've had the privilege to meet believers in all those areas who are different than me, but they are my brother and sister in Christ, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their cultural background, regardless of where they came from. I found brothers and sisters in Jesus all over the place. I'm thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. It belongs to Jesus. I belong to Him. And we belong to one another. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Remember to come back tonight at 6, informal time, just getting together and discussing this morning's sermon and praying together. It's a great time. I invite you to come out for that. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we have our meal. And then 7 o'clock, we have all the various Bible studies going on for the children, the youth, and the adults. We want to see you at that time. Love you. Would you have a great day in Jesus Christ? We'll close in prayer. And may you go out and tell the world. If you want to be a part of the church, you got to come to Jesus.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for providing us a family of believers, that we are all your children. And that, Father, that we are family, we look after one another, we pray for one another, and Father, you are the head of our family, and Father, we just thank you for being faithful to us and being there for us. And many of us will have difficult times this week, but we know that you are there and you'll get us through them all. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are, faithful and true to us. In Jesus' name, amen.